And we're back for another installation of FYC.
For your child self.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Alessandra.
Before we get started, I just want to, first of all, apologize for not releasing episode last week. The movie that we reviewed was Disney's Wish. And we did this moments after it came out, moments after we went to see it. It was all in very whirlwind, very fast. Like, no, hindsight is 2020, guys. We were too nice about that movie. I honestly didn't, I feel like I didn't even say one bad thing about it, and I've said nothing but bad things about it ever since. So I just felt like it wasn't a very truthful review nor an actual depiction of how we feel about Wish.
I think I said all I needed to say back then, but I feel like just for future employment opportunities, I should leave that.
Fair enough. Yeah, we just are both very much Disney adults, and we wanted more for
from the 100th anniversary
movie. So here at FYC, we try to do a good job of recommending you movies that do shock our adult selves. That shocked us for sure,
but not for the right reasons. But not that it's, I think it's still important that we discuss movies that we are not 100% in agreement with.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, I will be interested to listen in hindsight to how we felt versus, like,
we were just giving it too many benefits of the doubt.
Again, like, props where they're due to the animators and to all the creatives involved that tried their best. You know, not everything always gels, and, you know, not every movie is perfect. So,
yeah. And maybe we'll release it later now that we have this little blurb about
it. So expect that, but keep this in mind.
On to discuss bigger and better and funnier things, perhaps.
Yes. This was actually a movie that was super delightful. And this episode has been a long time coming. Yeah. We watched this movie in theaters quite some time ago. And it's now streaming on Peacock. Beautiful animated family film, Migration, from Illumination, which brings a heartfelt quote-unquote road trip. It's because they're, like, flying for most of it. Road trip adventure that's remarkably wholesome. And I really do think it's, like, fun for the whole family.
Yeah, no, this movie's super fun for everyone, all ages. It had funny jokes here and there. It had really good puns. And, you know, I'm all about the puns here. So I thought it was a very funny movie, very well animated as well. And just, I do recommend it. I've been dying to record this episode.
But before we start discussing Migration further, Victoria, what was your cartoon moment of the week?
It was honestly the most cartoon moment I think I've ever had. I walked my dog, and so we're walking on the sidewalk. We're just walking up the sidewalk. She does her thing. She's squatting down, taking a poop. And as I go to turn around to grab it, another dog is just minding its own business, walking towards us. So as I'm bent over trying to grab the poop, she's, like, wrapping around my legs. Trying to get the dog, or maybe I was spinning trying to get her away from the dog, but I ended up, like, quite literally a cartoon wrapped up in a dog leash. The dog is still barking, and I had shit in my hand. I was like, there's no freaking way this is happening to me right now.
I see the image very clear.
It was very cartoon, but yeah. What was yours?
How long did it take you to get unwrapped?
This whole thing probably took maybe 15 seconds.
So that's like a hoy boy. That's a whole animated sequence right there.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is at least like 200 frames.
That's like a Disney tune right there.
Yeah. It felt like, Pluto would do this.
No, I mean, for me, I did have like a kind of cartoony moment. I was working at a carnival this week. I won't give the context for what it was for and why. But I will say there was a wonderful balloon animal making gentleman.
Oh.
Who is supremely talented. And while you, the audience, cannot see it, Victoria, as you can see, there's this delightful Joker hat that I was able to take home with
me. It's really cute.
And maybe we'll post it on the socials later.
I'll post it on the story.
It really is a cute, like, Joker hat. And it's just, like, it just reminds me of, like, the talents that you don't necessarily think of as art. But I'm like, this man really just like works for his art. Like he was making roses that he'd spray with a rose scent afterward.
That is insane.
He like made like a giant balloon animal octopus with like bubbles coming out and like wrapped around his scepter. And then it was just like
out of balloons.
Yeah, like what? Toy guns with like the lights inside.
The heck?
Yeah, and then like he made like an actual horse. It was a tiny horse.
Any but of
it was
this a horse. Like being used?
Well, it was like just like he was using it, and I don't want to give too much away, but he was definitely using it for people to use for themselves. Okay, cool. And like just for him to stand there, and just for people's general enjoyment, right, to take home with them.
Exactly. So the moment he stepped, he was just nonstop creating balloon.
Yeah, and I think it was just
more he just can't stop.
Yeah, he could not help himself. Like even when it was like there was like no need for him to do it, he just kept making them, and it was just for like the sheer joy.
Oh, that's like, so sweet though.
Yeah, like he saw me because I was like, you know, just in awe of like what he was making. I was like, oh my god, this looks incredible. Yeah, and then he was like, do you want it? And he just gave it to me. Yeah. So and now I got to take it home.
So cute. It is so cute.
So yeah, I'm excited. To see the fruits of that as it goes on. It's like with that migration. So first of all, I'd like to point out that this was written by Mike White, and if Mike White sounds familiar, he probably is, of White Lotus fame. And he's actually written several animated films, but at least for me, I know him most from White Lotus. And then also directed by French cartoonist and animator Benjamin Renner, or Benjamin? Benjamin Renner? Benjamin? And Guylo Hamsley, who's actually directed various Illumination films, like some of the Despicable Me's, I think involved in like some of the Sync films. And Migration, I'm sure like you've seen promos by now, or like if you've seen it on Peacock, the little banner, it's about a family of mallard ducks who encounter a flock migrating south for the winter, and then they decide to embark on their own migration, even if the father of the clan, Mac, is very overprotective and fears danger at every turn. And Mac is played by the amazing Kumail Nanjiani, and then his wife, mate, Pam Mallard, is played by Elizabeth Banks. And you have Danny DeVito in the cast as Uncle Dan. And then newcomers who play the kids, Rex and Gwen, Casper Jennings and Trezzy Gazal. And they, like, it was just, like, the family dynamic I thought was, like, so adorable.
Loved,
like,
the family dynamic. I thought they were so cute. The way it opened up with, like, them telling, like, their kids a bedtime story. Yeah. Like, I think, like, from right off the bat, the movie did a good job of, like, giving us something cute and, like, making it funny. Which did a really good job of setting up the whole tone of the whole movie. As far as like the family goes, I think the Mac, who's the dad, reminds me a lot of my dad. Like, like the rules and the don't do this, do that. Like not even like not and I know better in like the way I feel like 80s sitcom dads are.
It's more like in a neurotic like. Yeah, I have like this issue and I'm going to force it on the entire family. Like
my issue is your issue. Yeah,
like I have these fears and I'm going to make sure you all have the same
one. The same one. I need the validation. But no. So I
would you say your dad is like that, or is it just the rule setting?
Yeah, just the rule setting and the like, oh, safety first always. So their conversations like from the beginning was very much like, oh yeah, like my dad would say that to me and then I would reply that back like. From either Rex or Gwen, or like Gwen being scared is such a little sister move, and then Rex being all like, okay,
like come on, let's go.
It's so like adolescent. So like from the get go, I think that they did a really good job of like giving them personalities.
Yeah.
But without it being obnoxious.
Yeah, honestly, they really felt like such a realistic movie to me. Like, I feel like, yeah, exactly like we were talking about movies of the past. Like I could relate, I could laugh, but I was like, I know no families that are actually like this. And then with this movie, I'm like, I do very much.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen families. I know families that are like this. I know exactly, like, the type of people. This is, like, definitely, like, a family, like, road trip movie for, like millennial parents to, like, Gen Z, Gen Alpha kids.
Yeah, it's giving almost, like, Y2K vibes. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah, it does. It reminds me of like these movies, like, you know, like RV, like the Robin Williams movie. Oh, yeah. Like that was one of my favorite like family road trip movies.
I just think of like
the Chevy Chase.
Oh, the Chevy Chase movies.
It reminds me of the National Lampoon like family road trip movies.
The Raven Simone road trip movie.
College road trip. Or something. Yeah, and then there's like We're the Millers, but like that's.
That's
like what Where the Millers did to like rated RFI a family road trip movie. This is like as wholesome as it gets.
Yeah, as rated E for everyone as possible.
But like it really is rated E for everyone. Like I feel like it's like, you know, like these like a lot of time kids movies like or like family movies will be made with like mainly kids in mind. And when I was first watching the trailers, I was like. I was kind of like apprehensive, but it was just like once again seeing it play in action and just seeing the dynamics and just like seeing how like the kids like grow on you so quickly and like you really do become invested in them.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, okay, I'm enjoying myself. And it was like really like one of those experiences where I'm like usually like, you know, like if you're at a like at a quote unquote like kids family movie, like you'll have like the kids and the adults there and like you'll have like one audience like really laughing, like, you know, you'll have the kids either really laughing and the adults or like the adults like find the things funny and the kids are just like you quiet. And like in this case, it was like everyone was laughing.
Like it either takes turns or it is everyone laughing. And yeah, this one was everyone laughing. And we went at like a pretty good like family friendly time. We were like Saturday morning or something.
We saw it at a time where there were children watching with their families.
People were laughing. It wasn't just us. But there's three types of movies that I think that we need a comeback for. And, like, I think that animation is a perfect place to do that. But one is the horse movie. We need more horse movies. And two, this is, like, a weird, but, like an adventure movie, like a Goonies or a National Treasure, like, that type of movie. And three would be definitely a road trip movie. So I'm glad that this one, like, hit a spot very much. Even if you take the animation out of it and, like, you make... You put these four voice actors in a car together and they're like, okay, we're road tripping for whatever. Like, I think that the chemistry that they had would still hold up. Do you agree?
I agree that the chemistry would hold up. But I feel like they would not quite get into the situations that they get into.
Oh.
Without, like, the fact of them being... I feel like the fact that they're birds and, like, they're, like, in the quote-unquote wild... And, like, for them, what is the wild, which is, like, our world, like, definitely, like, plays with elements that, like,
no, but it's
you
also,
don't find in a traditional road trip movie.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that they spend a lot of time in the city in a road trip movie, which, like, you never see.
You never see that. And a lot of the parts, like, where they were, like, flying, which would be all the car parts, were a little, those were, like, the less important plot important parts of the movie, too.
But I agree that if you stuck... those like voice actors and just had them like play it like that the dynamic would be just as like fun and like could lead to equally wacky situations.
Did you have a favorite part?
I like to say that I did. I mean, this relates to just like what I loved about the animation.
Okay.
Were the dance sequences.
Oh, those were fun. And you're right.
Like
they're ducks.
Yeah, they are ducks. No, but my favorite part was when they're in the restaurant and, like, all of a sudden, like, everyone gets on the dance floor to, like, dance, like, like, tango, salsa, all that. Like, and then you have, like, the dance scene with the humans outside and then the dance scene with Mac and Pam on the inside.
Yeah.
And not only does it, like, again, it, like, connects to the more, like, not, like, adult, but it's, like, the fact of, like, an adult relationship, like, you know, like, a married couple, like, having this like moment of connection. It's like one of those things of like just like, you know, connecting, which is like nice.
Yeah.
But then you had like the fun animated sequence outside that was just so colorful and vibrant. And it was just like great movement. And like for an animated movie, it was like almost like, I don't know why that part specifically. Well, no, I think I do know why it takes place in a restaurant. Ratatouille.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, but also it's just like when you saw Remy like going through Paris and like seeing, you know, bits of like the Parisian city life. Like, that's what it reminded me of. And then, like, you have this whole sequence of just, like, being in the human world and, like... And then just, like, getting to see the parallels between... them and then the human world outside. So yeah. I don't know. I just like thought it was like really nice, like seeing them connecting, but they're like in that scene, they're actually like working together to like achieve a goal that's like supposed to help them free who Keegan-Michael Key's character in this. What's his?
Delroy.
Yeah. The Jamaican parrot who's like trapped at this restaurant in a cage, and he's just like this like caged bird to this insane chef.
The part I like the most about that too, it's like they're dancing and they're like trying to like get this accomplished, and like they fall into the rhythm of the music while everyone is watching them and like cheering them on. When it cuts back to everyone like watching them from like the little room upstairs. Oh, yeah. And so I just think that that's so cute, because like I feel like sometimes you have these characters that will go off and do like a little mission and come back, but like here, because it's like a family movie and it was like so like everyone's involved in everything, it was like nobody else is doing anything, but like they were all winning, and obviously like that's the point of the like get the key so we can all fucking win.
Yeah,
but like it was just extra cute to me that that was happening too. Like the kids were watching their parents dance, and the kids were like, oh my god, like they told us to wait here, and like they're doing the thing, they don't need our help. Like I felt like they introduced a theme about the family dynamic that like plays into the movie every other turn.
And then what was your favorite part?
Oh my god, the ducky land.
Oh my
the duck paradise duck farm or whatever. That was Duck-ra-la. So funny. What did you call it?
Duck-ra-la, like Shangri-La.
Oh my god. No, literally, it's like, if you haven't seen this movie, it's literally like they're on this mission, like they're on this migration, on this journey, and they're getting from point A to point B to point C to point D, blah, blah, blah. And point, I guess, C or D is literally like a duck farm, and all the ducks are like in a fucking cult.
That sounds like very, yeah.
They were in a cult, and it's like they had this one leader duck that was like wearing...
Just think of your average yoga retreat.
Yeah, like literally like a yoga cult. It was so funny, and I was not expecting that. And on top of that, they were literally at Duck Disneyland. They had slides. Everything was green. There was so much food for these ducks. So obviously the mallards decide to tag along and hop, stay a little. That's for like a little
resort. Yeah.
But my favorite part, like that's my favorite part. But it ends when everything gets stressful again. Yeah, I just like the fun parts. Yeah. This is also where a villain gets reintroduced. So, this is also where a villain gets reintroduced. So that's why I say I like the earlier part of the scene and not the stressful part of this scene.
I thought the twist is what makes it so funny, is that like what it turns out to be, like why it's such a paradise for them, why they're treated so nicely, why they're fed so well. Mm-hmm. And then you see like what the twist is, and it's like, ah.
Yeah. Question. What do you think the twist is? And say this to yourself out loud. There's a duck farm in the middle of nowhere where these ducks are getting overfed,
pampered,
overspawed. You tell me where that's going.
It's not a duck sanctuary, I can tell you that.
But yeah, and I think in this part too, like you start to get Mac easing up a little bit on the kids.
That's exactly why the twist afterward is like so good. Yeah. He's like proven right.
Yeah. He was like, see, I should have fucking been scared this whole time.
But yeah, I did like that sequence. It was just like a fun, like sort of like respite, like, and I'm sure, and like for the family it is too, because after all the stuff that happened at the restaurant and in the city right before, it's like, they're like in this like little paradise.
No, literally, like
Disneyland,
Oasis.
And then any parent or like anyone that's ever been on a family trip to like an amusement park, but like specifically Disney, knows it starts with paradise. But then by like 2 p.m., your kids are complaining, oh, I'm hungry and I'm tired and I don't want to walk.
I gotta pee.
Yeah. And then it all goes downhill from there. But you know what, though? I will say that unlike my experiences with my siblings, where I feel like my sisters and I, when we were younger especially, we bickered a lot.
Yeah.
Like, for parents that want to model what a good sibling relationship is like, this is the movie to get your kids to, like, model themselves afterward. The sibling relationship between Rex and Gwen was just so wholesome.
They were very cute.
Like, I just, like, it was just, like, one of those things where it's, like, should I ever have children one day? I'm like, I would want my kids to treat each other that way. You know, like, I would want them to get along like this.
Yeah, I definitely have not treated my sisters in that way sometimes.
Did you also bicker when you were younger?
I think there was like a year where I generally didn't talk to my younger sister. Like, that's vile.
I don't know. Like, most of the times, like, I wouldn't say I forgot I had younger sisters, but I definitely, like, thought of my sisters as, like, oh, people that I lived with.
They're my roommates.
Yeah. Like, I would definitely say that we're closer now in adulthood after we got our stuff out of the way and, like, we're able to openly communicate.
It's very Bluey and Bingo.
Yeah.
So sad. But, yeah, it's very Bluey and Bingo in that, like, Gwen is very Bingo. She's cute and she's always asking questions and she's always present and, you know, she's always listening. So, like, at the end of the day, like, it makes that character just a lot more useful than I think the general little sister tropes go.
Yeah. Like, and that, I think that's, like, also, like, in the past, like, you have these, like, tropes of, like, siblings bickering and not getting along. And in this one, it was just so refreshing to see, like, it was not part of the conflict. Like, they were actually each other's support systems.
Exactly.
Especially Gwen with the little, it's like, you need a hug.
You did that just like her. She's so cute. And I was like, honestly, when we walked out of the AMC and they had, like, the little merch stand.
Oh, yeah,
the little Gwen keychain. I was like, oh, I need it.
Oh, my God.
Imagine. But yeah, I think, the relationship was done really well considering interesting.
Considering what?
No, considering how many different things went wrong in the movie to them.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, like, Gwen and Rex's relationship, like, didn't really falter. Like, if anything, it was how strong it was from before is what made it push through and, like, made that be, like, the saving grace at the end of the day.
Yeah,
that's really beautiful. It's a great movie.
A reminder to anyone listening to call their siblings and tell them how much you love them.
Send them a little text.
But
yeah, and so we can both agree that the cutest part of this movie is Gwen.
Gwen is so fucking Gwen is, like, so fucking precious.
She's so cute. She was actually nominated for an Annie for best voice performance.
In general?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For Gwen. Yeah.
Good for her.
I know.
Nice.
Yeah, she didn't win. Nimona won.
Well, I mean,
Chloe Grace Moretz. But I'm like, that is tall competition.
I know. And, like, I don't know. When I was looking her up, it didn't seem like she'd done much before.
No.
Wait, let me see. She is fully an adult woman.
Yes. Yeah, she isn't. She's not a child. No.
Not me thinking that was a child this whole time.
Oh, yeah,
for those of you listening, I just looked up the Tracy voice Gazzal. Actress. Yeah, Tracy Gazzal. Did not know that she was not a child. Or not. Wait. Are we sure? I'm pretty sure that's just Emily Gordon. Okay, so after doing some research, we have discovered that she is neither the small child I thought she was, nor
the adult that I believed her to be.
No, but she is, like, she's still, like, very young. She's, like, definitely looks like she's in her teens. But still, like, good for her. Like, she really did kill this role. Like, she was so believably adorable and, like, small. Like,
I'm like, there's no way she's a human woman. She is a bird. She's a small, chubby bird.
Yeah, like, giving that baby sister energy. Yeah. Hardcore. But yeah, but then what about your least favorite parts?
I have a very specific least favorite part. And this is just because one of my favorite movies ever is Rio. So I'm going to backtrack for everyone to give everyone context a little bit. At some point during the movie, the Mallard's parents get caught by Annette. So then it's up to the kids to go rescue them and save them, as it is. It's very Spy Kids-esque in that way, yeah. Which I was like all hands in on deck for this. Like, I'm in, all in. So obviously the net catches them. They're like flying through the sky on a helicopter in this net. And then the kids come and like set all the birds free, all the ducks, whatever. And this is why I'm saying it's so specific. And I'm a little bit like, I can't believe I'm being this nitpicky, but that means it's a good movie. Because that scene of like liberating all the ducks and the little ducks saving the older duck, and all of a sudden the ducks can't really fly, is just exactly the one from Rio, which I mentioned at the top of the statement that it is my, one of my favorite movies of all time. So it's just a great movie. Really made me feel, I was like, you couldn't pick another ending. Rio, like, stop it. Like, leave Rio alone. Do not try to do what she does, okay? So that's why that was like my least favorite part, is because it was just so like shot by shot that I was like, I've already seen this, next. Like, I don't know. It was just like, it's just a personal pet peeve, I guess.
I mean, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, it's very specific, but you have like an overarching one. No?
Well, okay. I had like a couple things that I wasn't crazy about, but again, mind you, I, for the most part, love this movie. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I just like couldn't get on board with was the like sort of family conflicts. Because as we said, like, because there was no conflict really between the siblings, like, mm-hmm. for the most part, they get along. And like the big family conflict is the dad's overprotectiveness and like, mm-hmm. just fear of like everything, fear of the world, like anything can go wrong and the dangers.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've seen that trope before.
Yeah.
And it really, like, other than like just being the sort of impetus for this movie, it never really comes up again, like, to such a great extreme. That's until true. Like the, like, you know, like the third act conflict moment.
Right.
Where it's just like all of a sudden, like, he and the son Rex are just like have this like big fight, and I'm just like, this like has never really been a thing, like, yeah, like it just didn't require that level.
Yeah, I get it.
It hadn't been pushed to that level where I was like found it believable. I was just like, it feels like one of those like we need a third act conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the only thing in terms of like the family dynamic that I was like, eh. Like, I feel like if they had, like, built it up a little more, I would have been, like, more on board with it. But because it was mainly focused on the dad for so long and not, like, necessarily the full relationship with the kids, I was like, ah, I don't know that I buy this.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, like, the fact that we had all these, like, more, like, episodic, like, things, like, with the stops along the way.
Right, the adventures and
the adventures where it's just, like, these little mishaps. And then we do get this, like, end, like, sudden, like, midway villain.
Yeah.
The crazy chef. Yeah. Who suddenly is just, like, so invested. I will say, like, for an animated movie like this, you kind of have to have an over-the-top villain.
I agree.
Because I'm like, otherwise, like, what's the point? Like, yeah, you know, it is really funny at the end how, like, insane and unhinged the chef is.
He actually fucking was.
Like, the lengths that he was going to go through for these fucking birds.
Yeah.
But, you know, that, like, that was something else that I would have maybe, like, again, like, because it just came, like, so late in the movie, I was just like, like, I'm not, like, as invested. However, I will say, as I'm discussing it again, salud. oh, it's actually, it was pretty funny, like, seeing, like, how exagerado it was. Like, I definitely laughed, being like, this guy again? Like, are we joking?
Yeah, I think he came at exactly the right time, too, because before, that was the part where I was like, okay, cool. Like, are they just going to make it to their destination safely? Because I'd be totally fine with that because I'm having a blast at this Duck Disneyland. And then, like, they reintroduce him and I'm like, oh, this is where this is going. Okay. Yeah. And shit's going to hit the fan and shit hit the fan. So I'm like, I do like that, like, crescendo of, like, it went from, like, 0 to 100 really, really fast.
Agreed.
But yeah, sorry, back to your first point that you disliked. What did you say?
Oh, no, it was just, like, the sort of family, like, conflict that sort of felt forced. And it's just, like...
Oh, yes, 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 sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But wait, what about it? My thing. Well, I want to go back to that because I was going to make the comment that they did in Act 3 what Finding Nemo did in Act 1.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yeah.
They're like, stop, no. And then it's like, yeah. I'm like.
So I'm like, the fact that like the conflict didn't stem from that really was a weird journey. You're right.
I'm like, I'm glad you put it in words perfectly, because instead of it being like something for them to grow from over the course of the mm-hmm. movie, it's just something shoehorned in to cause drama in the family at the last minute.
Yeah.
And you put it perfectly as to what bothered me about it. Because like,
time.
Yeah, you're right. The Finding Nemo of it all, like you have it, like it's something where the family, like where, not the family, but where the story sort of builds from like this big fight, and like it sort of motivates both characters, is like the fight being like, I like said this thing to my son, I said this thing mm-hmm. to my dad, yeah. like we need to get back to each other so we can make up. And in this movie, I mean, it sort of does that, but it doesn't have the same emotional stakes because we haven't spent the whole movie building that.
Right.
Exactly. So thank you for,
of course, anytime.
Thank you for citing this excellent reference.
Finding Nemo forever.
I've got to find my son. But what did you think of the animation? I know you love your color palettes.
Oh my God. It was so cute. And like, even like in the marketing, like, cause the movie poster isn't, it's just them four and like colors in the background. So I feel like maybe that's actually what got me really excited about the movie, was I was like, oh, this movie's color forward.
I felt like it just gave me very autumnal.
Yeah.
It's and like very, it came yeah. like out and around like Evermore. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Thanksgiving yeah. Evermore. Yeah.
I think it was Christmas.
Yeah. It was like the holiday season. So it was just like, it reminded me just like, it was just giving me Thanksgiving vibes.
Yeah.
And like, it was just like color palette of like the turquoises, the browns, the oranges.
And even like them themselves, like
yeah.
they're on the warmer side too. Even though like, I feel like if I see mallard ducks on the out in the wild, I don't think, oh, that's a brown duck. You know,
yeah.
that's a gray, dirty duck.
No, well, I was actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was at this carnival place the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a couple mallard ducks.
Oh,
and the
okay.
only reason, I told the people next to me, I was like, the only reason I know that is because of migration.
Look at that. Another movie teaching us things every day.
Yeah, we're learning all the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, to answer your question, I really love the color palettes, and like they did a good job of not making them, because during the movie, you don't really, it's kind of season-less, because you're going down to Florida and then you're going to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Right? But the color palettes were still there. Like, they could have landed in a blue hotel, but they landed in like a pink-red one.
Mm.
And like, even when it's like, there was a lot of nighttime scenes, and even those nighttime scenes weren't, didn't like wash out the ducks, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
they weren't just like, what's her name? Gwen was still very like cute and brown and fluffy.
Yeah.
And like, so I like that they like were, they did, the animators did a really good job of like sticking to the character designs and variating from that, instead of just like flip-flopping it, which sometimes movies do.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about the dancing scenes?
Well, no.
You mentioned earlier, but like about the animation style specifically.
Well, it just like felt like very sweeping, you know? It just felt very like, I don't know why, it felt more impressionistic to me. Just like the thrill and the rush you get. It was giving me like, and like, tell me I'm crazy if you think I'm crazy, but it was just giving me like these 90s like vibes. Like, that's like,
okay.
I feel like it just reminded me of like Miami in the 90s, early 2000s, where it was okay. very much about like this sort of dance and the sweeping and the impressionism
yeah.
and like, even like, I don't know why, it was like just reminding me of that.
No,
but
yeah,
it did.
That's a good like, yeah, like a little reference.
Yeah, it just gave me some like nostalgia.
Yeah. Nostalgic reference. I love that.
But I also thought like, just like seeing the animation of like the more natural surroundings versus the city. And then not just like the city that feels more industrial and like dangerous, but the indoor that felt like warmer, like the restaurant environments.
Yeah.
That's like, has like a little more like of those reds like coming out.
Yeah.
Like I thought like, did they, like the settings really like brought like this like energy. And even like when they're in like this like bayou sort of environment, mm-hmm. like at the beginning, like
yeah.
when they first like take off, like it was just like interesting to see like this range of settings. And I mean, granted, again, we go back to the fact that it's a road trip movie,
yeah.
which is like bound to do that. But like, I don't know, in like road trip settings, you tend to like stick to one sort of environment. So it's like, if you're in like the Northeast, like you stick to the Northeast, or if you're like in the desert, you're like in the desert. Like, I remember all these movies like having that thing. Even what's it called? A Goofy Movie, which is also an animated road trip film. Like even that like feels like you're more in like one environment until like the very end. It's like more nature-y.
Yeah.
And this one you had like the variety to it.
Right.
That I don't know. It was just like cool to like.
No, it is cool, especially because it's like what we mentioned earlier. Like they're flying. Like obviously the way they're getting from point A to point B is that they're flying, which is a lot of nothing in the background. So like coming in and out of that into the cities, into these like background rich places where the ducks are actually interacting with the background and not just like quote unquote acting in front of it is very notable in the movie.
Yeah. And then like again, you have these little side characters that you meet on the way. Like there's again, shout out to Awkwafina, who seems to be in every animated movie nowadays.
I know.
As Chump, like this street smart pigeon.
Chump was funny.
Yeah, I like Chump. I think Awkwafina does a great job of voice acting. I will say it does sound like her most of the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes it makes you realize we need an Awkwafina in movies.
I know. Like who were they casting before Awkwafina?
Good question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's unmemorable. Unremarkable. I'm joking.
I'm like, who did fit that role? I feel like it would have been like a Harvey Firestein. Yeah, like Harvey Firestein would have been the one doing these roles.
Yeah.
But now it's like it's cool getting a woman representing these like
cops in there.
Yeah. Women representing like street smart or like jaded characters.
Yeah.
And then Earth, Wind.
I just added that. Another thing I really liked about the animation too was how they like did these different elements. Like the wind is very much you see it. Like, and so it's
you can paint with all the colors of the wind. It's funny. I did think of Pocahontas.
And like when they're on Earth, and walking around the city, like I don't know, like just how the ducks are interacting with the space around them, like in the air, on Earth, and in the water is all different. So I guess maybe it's just the physics of it, but I thought that was like a very notable thing about the animation in this one. Because usually like Finding Nemo, mostly water, a little bit of land. Like that's the vibe, right? But this one, they really just took it all mediums. So I'm like,
they had more elements in it than Elemental. But, but I agree with you. I did like the way that they were always able to interact with like the natural world around them, even in like these unnatural settings.
Even in Chump's world.
Chump's world. I was just like watching a little clip from the thing of like her getting hit by the car, the truck.
Oh my God.
When crossing the street, she's like, "We can't
follow me." And then she does it again.
Yeah. That was like a gag where I'm like, I'm way too old to be laughing at this. And yet.
Here I am.
But was there anything else that, any like lingering impressions you had, or shall we go into our ratings?
But yeah, so this is now the second movie this season where we've had to talk about herons. So that's fun.
Yeah, herons are just like a big theme. Yeah. like voiced by Carol Kane, and I'm obsessed with her. Like she really has like, her voice is one of the most fascinating things. Like the fact that that is just like what she sounds like. But I love her whole sequence. It's just she plays such a level of like offbeat, unhinged, slightly,
literally unhinged.
And she was a delight to hear in this movie.
Yeah, it was a good time. Let me just redo my thing.
So with that, what are we rating this baby?
Ooh, I'm gonna be a little I'll do an 8.
I was thinking like 7.5, but but similar. I think it really is like an enjoyable, like family, like film for like for everyone. Like you don't necessarily need to be, you know, a parent with like two kids. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Make a fence.
Two girls on a Saturday.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you could be any age to enjoy family fun.
It's a good background watch. So
I wouldn't even say, like, I was, like, fully invested, like, sitting down.
Once you've seen it once.
Oh, okay.
I put this on in the background already. You know what I mean? Like, on Peacock. Because I'm like, oh, I know what's happening, and this is fun for me to listen to every time I'm cooking or cleaning away from the television.
Well, then, on that note, I will move up our usual question of, does it have the frozen effect?
Oh, shit.
Like to pull.
Yeah,
like
she pulled a fast one on me. Yeah.
You think it has the frozen effect?
I think that if a lot of the times I answer movies to as I answer as if I was like 12 and watching it and I would rewatch it. This one, genuinely, like if I was like, I just feel myself watching this almost as much as a kid would watch Bluey.
Interesting.
Where it's like, it's fun, it's pretty. If you only have 30 minutes, you're not even going to get to the stressful parts. If you have the full hour and a half to watch it, like, great, you're going to go on this great journey. You know, I feel like it has a lot of good stops. So it's like, I would find comfort in like rewatching up to a certain point. I'm just going to answer yes.
Okay. For me, this is like, it reminds me of Ice Age, and that this is like, which is another, I guess, like road trip found family movie.
Yeah.
But it's like the same way that I would watch Ice Age exclusively at the dentist's office. Oh. Like, this is like for me a dentist office watch. Mm-mm. It's funny. It's just because I haven't seen Ice Age in a while. And mind you, I love those movies, but like it wasn't like repeated at home in the same way. So like the only way I would watch it is like literally at the dentist's office. And as luck would have it, or misfortune would have it, I don't have Peacock. So like the only way I'd be able to watch it is at the dentist.
I have Peacock. I just got it. That's funny you say that, because I think there's two types of people in this world. The ones that watch Shrek and the ones that watch Ice Age. And I know everyone has seen both movies, but I don't think that, I think that if you didn't have if Shrek doesn't have a chokehold on you as an adult, it's because Ice Age does.
That is so funny. I need to see that with Megan.
Do you have an alternate title for this film?
Alternate title. Rio, no, I'm kidding.
Lake.
No. I know, right? It's like, exactly, that would probably be the better, more apt titled Lake instead
Jamaican
of video.
Coast.
No. Oh wait, I got it.
Okay.
An American Wing.
Oh, that's fucking funny. Yeah. That's really good.
I don't know. That's like, that's as much pun as I'm putting into it. That's the most effort.
That's good. I wanted to go with something like Crossroads, but I want to make like a flight pun.
Cross clouds. Cross skies.
Blue skies. Maybe just crossroads. Blue skies would be funny. No, I'm just going
to
go with Crossroads. Like the
blue sky animation.
Like the one movie that Britney Spears is in.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was written by Shonda Rhimes.
I'm not surprised.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Not as weird as her having written Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, yeah. That also I found out after I saw the Crossroads.
Yeah, movie. Shonda has always been like making Shonda's memories for us all.
She's up there. But yeah.
But now, what age would you want to be to watch this movie?
Maybe like I'd take like a 9.
I think 7 or 8 for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the age where, like, if I were to rewatch this movie a lot, it would have been at that age.
Okay. Yeah. I think 9 for me. Sorry. I think 9 for me just because there are kind of like a lot of like grown-up jokes, and I feel like at 9 I would start to understand.
Yeah,
and like
it wouldn't fly over your
and
head.
Stuff. Yeah.
It wouldn't fly over your head. This is like really a great movie to make puns about.
Yeah, no, there's so many.
Who would you additionally cast in this movie?
Oh, you know, also I'm recasting Danny DeVito for this one.
You know what? I kind of agree.
Ah!
I'm sorry. I feel horrible.
That was a hot take. I wasn't expecting that.
No, I love Danny DeVito, but he was just like this. I don't. Maybe it's the role, but it was just not giving. Like, it just felt like they could have had anyone. Like, why have someone so iconic and only saying like 3 lines? It was like he was just there for the paycheck.
Yeah, which is totally fine. Like, you.
But like, did you need Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
To do that. Yeah.
Oof. I kind of want to cast someone that was in Zootopia.
Okay.
Like, I would cast J.K. Simmons.
Interesting. As the uncle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking someone, like, from Zootopia that had, maybe it's, like, a bit more, like a Mayor Lionheart.
I see.
Like, someone that's just a little bit less, like, ugh, uncle. More like, I don't know, do something funnier with that role.
I'm here looking, because I would have liked to see maybe, like, a sort of uncle type like Desi actor just for the fact that like because he plays Kumail's uncle and Kumail is like Pakistani, so I'm like, it would have been nice to see another like elderly South Asian actor voice the role, like, and that could have been an interesting like not spin but like, you know, more consistent. No, just
a little bit more considering even like neither of the kids are,
but like honestly I could not even tell you which actor I have in mind.
You can cast the villain. I don't think he says a word. I don't think he has a...
Just like more sounds and groans of despair. And then what part would you do away with?
Oof. I'd do away with the airplane falling out of the airplane scene.
You're like, we don't need... Nick it. Don't need Rio in my
migration. I honestly have them land. Just no peril in there. Just have them land. It's okay with me. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything fit. It's more like, like I would have added some things actually. Like in terms of like the family conflict stuff.
Okay.
Like I would have had more like personal stakes versus like larger world like exterior like conflict.
Okay.
In addition. I don't know. That. But I forget how long this movie was. Yeah, you're right. It was
really.
It was like 83, so very close. Yeah, nice. Though actually, it did for the budget, which was $72 million. It did a decent job in the box office. It was $295.6 million in the box office.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Yeah, it did well.
I guess that's what happens when you release a movie at Christmas.
Yeah, honestly. Damn. And it's crazy because I think it overtook. Did it do better than Wish?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's compare.
Yeah, it did better than Wish by about 50 million, 40 million.
Yeah, it did better than Wish and it had a significantly lower budget.
Yeah, significantly.
Significantly.
I hadn't thought of that until just now.
Wow.
Streaming on Peacock.
Illumination, good job. Yeah. You know, you have the Minions, but you've proven that... You don't only have the Minions.
I love the Minions.
Illumination. Okay, and with that, we end another episode of FYC.
For your child self.
Victoria, where would you migrate for the winter?
Aruba.
Aruba's nice.
I want to go to Aruba.
Aruba is very nice.
My grandparents go all the time. They're like, we have a wedding. Jamaica. We have some friends. We just want to go. And I'm like, fucking take me.
Aruba's nice. They got lots of iguanas.
I know.
Iguana hug.
What about you?
Honestly, it's so funny because this is home. And like, I constantly make a point of how much I do not like living there.
Yeah.
But I would migrate to Miami.
Honestly, they were having...
Miami's like the best weather in Miami is like the winter time.
Yeah, like, it really is so nice.